How are we doing? We're doing good, right? Everyone is awake and energized. Nobody was awoken all night from fireworks, right? We were all good. Best sleep of our lives. Maybe tonight, okay? Before we get started, let's just take a moment and open up in prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving us the ability to come together and just praise you, God. I pray right now that as we just continue to dive into your word, that you would open our hearts, that you would just allow us to hear what you are saying through your word, Lord. I just pray that we would be guided by your spirit this morning. And I pray that we would just humbly submit ourselves to you. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be now in Luke chapter 3. We're going to be talking and going through the conversation with Nicodemus. All right, so over the past 2 weeks, we've watched ordinary men respond to the call of Jesus. Respond to Jesus as he said, follow me. Okay, so Peter left his nets, okay? Like, he left his business, right? Just, okay, follow. Levi, as they walked on and as he continued, Levi left his tax booth. So we had this two very contrasting people, but still followed the same call. And their next step was obvious because it was a start of something, to start following Jesus. And we can see what they left behind. Physically leaving a tax booth. Physically leaving the nets that you fished with. So it's easy for us to apply something like that when we can see that moment when someone is beginning to follow Jesus. So when we see that, we picture someone leaving their old life behind and leaving what they once knew to begin a new one. But that doesn't always mean that you're just going to leave everything you know. When I became a Christian, I didn't just walk away from my house and walk away from my family and just walk away. And, you know, how old was I? 18. So I was still in school and stuff. But those who are older, it's not like we're just going to walk away from that. You know, Jesus called them to follow him, and that's what they did. But what about someone who's been with the Lord, with God, and around God for a long time? What about someone who knows scriptures, serves faithfully, is in the church, goes to the Bible studies, studies the word, wakes up in the morning and that little ping goes off and it's like, read your daily devotional. You know, what about someone like that? Someone who's built a reputation of being spiritually mature. Can someone like that still have a next step? And as we walk through this series, it would be easy to think that follow me applies to that first initial response, which it does. That first time when somebody responds to the call and Jesus says, follow me in their life, and they say, I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to follow him. And when we see that, when we hear follow me, we can go to that moment. But next, we meet Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And John introduces us to this man, and he was a Pharisee, one of Israel's most respected religious leaders. Okay, the Pharisees devoted their lives to studying scripture. They devoted their lives to the law, how to abide by it. They would teach others how to abide by it. They would help guide the spiritual life of the Jewish people. So if you had a question about who God was or his word or the Bible, you would go to see people like Nicodemus. You would go hear people like Nicodemus. But Nicodemus, on top of that, even held a more, what's the word that I would say, significant position, okay? Because John also tells us that he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. the Sanhedrin, okay? And I want to just explain this for a minute, that that council was made up of about 70. Was made up of 70 men, one, and then the priest, okay? They devoted their lives. The council was made up of these most influential religious leaders in the nation, okay? Of all the Jewish people, they served as Israel's highest court, dealing with religious matters, providing insight and leadership for the people. So to be invited into this, you know, not only just be a Pharisee, but to be invited into the Sanhedrin was huge, okay? And it meant that you earned the respect of not only the religious leaders, but you had the authority of a teacher of the law among the most influential men in Israel. So in other words, Nicodemus wasn't just simply a religious man, and we're happy about that. We're happy he was, but he was educated. He was respected. He was influential. He was possibly admired in a lot of aspects. So if anyone appeared in their life to have God figured out, it would be someone like Nicodemus. If you woke up and you had kids and you were like, I want you to follow the Lord in your life, and your kid was like, what is an example of that? Someone like Nicodemus back then would have been that example. Do what he's doing. Follow what he's saying. Understand the teachings. But Jesus shows him that following him is not something we do once and leave in the past. It's not a set of rules. It's not a set of guidelines that we just learn and figure out and we're just like on repeat every day. It's a continual life change. It's a continual journey. It's a continual next step. If we don't take a next step, what happens? Nothing. We stop where we are. We always take that next step. So no matter how long we've walked with Christ, we never outgrow our need to listen to his voice, trust his work, and take the next step that he lays before us. Amen? And that's why this series is called Forward. Jesus never calls his people to stand still. Jesus is always calling us into a deeper relationship with him to take a step forward in our faith. And sometimes that means leaving something behind. Sometimes that means leaving something like Peter and Levi. Sometimes it may mean allowing Jesus to reveal something in us that we can never see on our own, as he will with Nicodemus. And no matter how long you've followed Christ, you have not reached the end of your journey with him. Every follower of Jesus has a next step from the first one to the last, because every follower of Jesus is still being formed into his likeness. So I want to ask ourselves one question this morning. Has following Jesus become my life, or has following Jesus become my routine? And we're going to see how Jesus answers that to someone named Nicodemus. So starting in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So right now, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in night. Now, scripture does not tell us why. People go back and forth about this, and over many years, there's been just different explanations. You know, some believe he maybe came under the cover of darkness out of fear for what others might think. You know, someone that influential going to Jesus and asking questions, they're like, aren't you supposed to know this? Others believe that he just simply wanted a uninterrupted conversation to be able to just speak with Jesus. Now, we don't know, and I'm not going to just allow us to speculate. I don't know. That's one of the great things, is I'm just going to say, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But Nicodemus goes to Jesus. He approaches him. They have this conversation, and Jesus reminds us that Nicodemus, or John reminds us that Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews, educated, respectful. And from the outside, he appeared to be exactly the kind of person that didn't need another sermon, right? Didn't need another lecture. Didn't need another, what do I do today, Lord? He was somebody who, in a sense, had the answers. Someone that people would come to. But that should make us stop and think, because many of us identify with Nicodemus. We've been in church for years. We've studied the Bible. We've served faithfully at the groups. We serve faithfully at the events. We serve faithfully on Sunday mornings. We've built good spiritual habits. None of those are wrong. In fact, those are actually showing God's grace at work in our life. And religious, the reputation doesn't replace the spiritual hunger that we should have. And here's the danger. We can become faithful to the routine of the Christian life while becoming less intentional about pursuing Christ himself. Christianity can become something we practice instead of something we pursue. Does that make sense? Because following Jesus was never meant to be a routine. It's a relationship that continues to deepen over years, over our whole life. And as we draw close to Jesus, he transforms us into his likeness. But the moment we stop pursuing him, we don't just stand still. We begin to drift. Other things come into our life. Other things start to happen. We never really drift towards Christ. We're drawn towards him, but when we don't pursue him, we drift away. The world enters in. Things come up. Things happen. Oh, I didn't read my Bible this morning. I'll get back to it tomorrow. 3 weeks later, you're like, huh, where'd that come from? But it was never meant to be a routine. Imagine us, imagine those of us who are in a relationship, who are married to our spouse. Does my relationship with my spouse become a routine? I wake up, go give her a kiss after I brush my teeth. Go give her a kiss. Help her out the door. Make sure I call her this time. Make sure I text her at this time. When she gets home, make sure I ask what she wants for dinner. Like, that's not the relationship. Our relationship grows deeper as we get to know each other, as we pursue one another, as we grow in likeness together. We are now one flesh, right? We are together. That's our relationship with Christ. When we say we know Christ, when we say we have a relationship with him, are you pursuing him? Are you spending time with him? So Nicodemus came with questions. But before he could even ask them, before he can really even start, Jesus went straight to what was beneath the question. And he wasn't interested in really, it doesn't seem that he was interested in, let's say, examining Nicodemus's curiosity, but he went straight to the point. And verse 3, it says, Jesus replied. So as soon as Nicodemus comes up and he approaches him, and has this introduction, he replies, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus, how can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Jesus doesn't begin talking about Nicodemus's accomplishment, doesn't say, hey, look at all you've done. You're this influential speaker. You're a Pharisee. Good job. No. Instead, he immediately addresses the deepest root need in his own life, the need of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus, just like a lot of us, would rightfully just go to physical birth. What do you mean be born again? I came out crying the first time. Why would I want to do that again? How am I going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Like, when Jesus says this, Nicodemus goes straight to this physical understanding. But Jesus isn't talking about a physical birth. He's talking about the spiritual birth, a life that only God can give through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gives Nicodemus this illustration in verse 8 where he says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. All right, so the Greek word translated wind is pronounced pneuma, okay? And it's translated in a few different ways. We see it as wind, but it's also wind, breath, spirit, okay? So it's like Jesus intentionally uses this phrase, this word, wind, because Nicodemus, having the knowledge he has of the Old Testament and what's going on in the world, should understand what is going on, what he is talking about, and recognize the connection. Because throughout the Old Testament, God's breath or wind is connected with his life-giving power. Okay? So in Genesis 2, all the way back to the beginning, he breathes life into Adam. In Ezekiel 37, God breathes dry bones and breathes them back to life. We just went over it a few months ago in Acts 2. The coming of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by the sound of a mighty rushing wind. So Jesus's point is that you can't see the wind, but you can clearly see the effects of it. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the evidence of its work. So with the Spirit, when the Spirit gives someone new life, that life begins to change. And what Nicodemus was missing, he knew about God. He knew Scripture. He knew the law. Remember, like, you can only walk so far on Sabbath. You can't pick up your mat on the Sabbath. These are all these check mark, check mark, check mark. Nicodemus knew all this, but what he didn't know was Jesus wasn't offering him more knowledge. Jesus was saying and offering him new life through the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus, you know the law, you know all this stuff, but you need to be born again through the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again through the life that Jesus provides. In verse 9, he says, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. A lot of us would probably do that. What are you talking about? What is going on? How can this be? You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may enter eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So by this point, it might show that Nicodemus is maybe a little bit overwhelmed, maybe a little bit confused, and he asks, how can this be? Maybe it was curiosity, just how can this be? Like, we don't know. But instead of giving Nicodemus more information and just continually talking about it, Jesus points to himself. He reminds Nicodemus that all of Scripture has been pointing to this moment. that just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, that those who looked on it would live. Jesus says he too will be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. One of the greatest dangers that I feel there is in Christian life is believing that because you know more about Jesus means that you are closer to Jesus. And that was Nicodemus. He had spent life studying Scripture. He knows God's word better than most people in Israel, better than a lot of people. Yet he was standing face to face with the Messiah that Scripture promised and pointed to, and he could not see him clearly. So Jesus wasn't really criticizing or saying anything badly about Nicodemus asking questions. He was exposing, though, the limits of his knowledge apart from the faith of who Jesus Christ is. You can have all the knowledge. You can know every word in this book. But if you don't believe what it says, if you don't see what's right in front of you and take the next step in obedience, Jesus tells Nicodemus that if he cannot believe what God has revealed through these simple earthly illustrations, how will he understand the realities, the heavenly realities of Jesus Christ that he is about to reveal through his identity, his mission, salvation, dying on the cross, being rose again? How is Nicodemus going to understand that if he can't understand an earthly illustration, the worldly one? So there comes a point in every believer's life where learning more information is no longer going to propel you forward. It's no longer the primary issue. But the question becomes, will I trust Jesus with what he is showing me, with what I have learned, with what I know, and will I take the next step? Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how much of the Bible you know. It's not measured by how many verses you memorized in Awana. It's great, though. It's good to know them. But it's measured by how faithfully you respond in obedience for when Jesus is saying, follow me. Follow me in your life. Follow me in your actions. Follow me in your next step. How faithfully you respond to the truth that God has revealed to you, allowing it to draw you into a deeper relationship with him. So Nicodemus is confronted with the reality that his religious knowledge can produce the spiritual understanding and rebirth needed to follow Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is saying, he must believe in the one who came. He must believe in Christ. He must be reborn through the Holy Spirit. And that's when Jesus brings up one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16. We can all say it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life, however your version reads it. And we often read this verse as an invitation to begin following Jesus. And it is, you know. But Jesus doesn't stop with God's love. He continues by showing how every person responds to the light that has come into the world, which is Jesus Christ. Every person who encounters Christ must decide what they will do with him. Jesus ends this conversation by showing Nicodemus that no one can remain where they are after encountering him. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they had not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So following Jesus always moves us out of darkness and into a life that is continually being transformed by grace, into the light of the world. That is what Nicodemus needed to hear. Jesus was calling him to believe in the Son, step into the light, receive a new life that only he can give. And that life doesn't end with this one decision. It doesn't end with that one moment. It's a lifelong journey of where we continue to follow Jesus. We continue to grow in Jesus, and we learn to live for Jesus every day. And that is the same call for every one of us today, to follow Jesus every day, to grow in Jesus every day, to learn to live for Jesus every day. We don't know everything that happened to Nicodemus' heart that night. And John is actually the only place in the Bible where we hear of Nicodemus, and he's brought up three different times. But later in John's gospel, we find him defending Jesus before the Sanhedrin. So that tells us something clicked. Something happened in John 7. And eventually helping burying Jesus after the cross in John 19. So it seems that this conversation that began in the darkness didn't end there. That Jesus kept calling Nicodemus forward. That something in Nicodemus' heart and thought process and his mind doesn't tell us of his transformation. It doesn't tell us that he accepted Christ when. But we can see by the evidence of his life that it's something going on. So my question is, that the evidence in our life, can people tell that something is going on? Can people see that something is happening? We don't know that Nicodemus ever accepted Christ. We don't know if he ever had that conversation. We don't know if he ever did any of that. But the evidence of his life points to that conclusion. Does the evidence of our life point people to the conclusion that we follow Jesus? So the question is not whether Jesus, or not whether following Jesus is still a calling, because we know it is. Jesus calls all of us to a relationship with him. Jesus calls all of us to follow him. Jesus calls all of us to be a disciple for him. The question is, are we still willing to follow? Because following Jesus isn't a decision that we just leave at the altar that day. It's not something we put in our Bible and say, on this day, I started following the Lord, and that was it. It's a great thing to remember where our starting point is, but from that point, every day we have a next step. Every follower of Christ has a next step, because every follower of Christ is still being formed into his likeness every day until Jesus comes, or until he calls you home. Every day, we are called to live for him. So the question is, are we? Let's pray.